CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
From Hamilton, Ontario, this is the Green Planet Monitor, your weekly report on Earth systems, human development, justice, and science. Today, Western powers agree. Ethnic cleansing, apartheid, and genocide are grave crimes, but Israel must be free to commit them. UN rights expert Francesca Albanese learns the hard way, and a red card for Israeli footballers? Nowhere near enough. Rights activists are calling for the world's top football chiefs to be prosecuted. This is the Green Planet Monitor. I'm David Kattenberg. First, a news rundown from GPM contributor Kylie Wong.
In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling striking down Donald Trump's tariffs, Trump says he'll raise tariffs to 15%. Another way, Trump wrote on X that he was making the announcement based on a thorough, detailed, and complete review of the ridiculous, poorly written, and extraordinarily anti-American decision on tariffs issued yesterday. The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that Trump had exceeded his authority by using an emergency power statute to impose tariffs. So the administration turned to another legal mechanism to keep tariffs in place. Democrats criticized the move as costly for Americans and that Trump is pickpocketing the American people. ChatGPT raised red flags about the Tumblr Ridge killings before they happened. OpenAI creator ChatGPT had banned the account of the alleged Tumblr Ridge shooter last June. The company told CBC News that Jesse Van Rensselaer's account was deactivated due to misuses of our models in furtherance of violent activities. OpenAI went on to say that the account's activities did not meet the higher threshold required to report to law enforcement. That threshold requires that an account display imminent and credible risk of serious physical harm, which Van Rensselaer's account did not. In the wake of the Tumblr Ridge shootings, calls grow for better mental health help for vulnerable youth. Roger McIntyre, a psychiatry professor at the University of Toronto, told Post Media that the shootings flag a need to address mental health concerns. Canadians, especially youth, need better access and availability to mental health services, regardless of their racial, ethnic, or demographic group, he said. We have a mental health crisis globally. At least 1 in 5, even 1 in 4 Canadians are going to have mental illness at some point in their life, McIntyre said. Hamilton hospitals are borrowing millions from banks to cover budget shortfalls, including operating costs, equipment, and building projects. Hamilton Health Sciences owes $40 million tied to a line of credit they use to pay bills and payroll, including $2 million in interest. HSS has already paid more than $15.7 million in interest for long-term financing used for hospital equipment and maintenance. The fact that our hospitals are being so underfunded that they're now having to take out loans and then use patient care dollars to be able to pay off interest just shows how broken the system of funding is for our hospitals, NDP's Dr. Robin Lennox said. Ottawa has not responded to a UN critique of Canada's assisted dying laws. The United Nations Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities issued a critical report urging Canada to halt the expansion of medical assistance in dying laws and address inadequate supports for disabled people. The federal government has yet to comment and is reviewing recommendations internally. The UN criticized Track 2 made for embodying ableist assumptions and urged its repeal. Systemic poverty and lack of services drive people towards assisted death, the UN report says. Disability advocates argue consultations lack genuine engagement. Disabled Canadians express the same concerns to anyone who would listen, says Gabrielle Peters, a policy analyst. Ontario Premier Doug Ford is defending cuts to OSAP grants amid student backlash. Starting this fall, the maximum grants a student can receive from OSAP will decrease from 85 to 25% of costs. 25% should still satisfy student needs, and there will be additional grants available through the schools and federal government, Ford says. What we were doing was unsustainable. The premier told a reporter when asked if he would consider scaling back on the cuts if he heard from enough people. The taxpayers expect students to go through courses that are going to drive economic growth, said Ford. And that's the news.
Thanks, Kylie.
You're welcome.
Out. You got to speak out against the madness. You got to speak your mind if you dare. David Crosby's rallying cry for peace and justice back in 1968 at the height of the Vietnam War rings loud and clear today if U.S.-backed Israeli genocide, ethnic cleansing, and apartheid are what you're speaking out against. Better watch your back. No one knows this better than Francesca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur on the human rights situation in occupied Palestine. Since assuming the unpaid position in 2022, the Italian legal scholar and human rights advocate has submitted a host of excoriating reports to the United Nations detailing Israeli war crimes and crimes against humanity. In response to her filings, in July 2025, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, no friend of international law, slapped crushing sanctions on Albanese. Albanese's reports amount to lawfare, Rubio declared, and a gross infringement of Israel USA's right to commit internationally unlawful acts with impunity. Albanese is not the only one in little Marco's crosshairs. Following the issuance of arrest warrants against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and then War Minister Yoav Gallant, 9 prosecutors and judges at the International Criminal Court have had their bank accounts frozen, credit cards cut off, online services terminated. Of course, they're all banned from entering the United States. Smelling blood, a Zionist entity called UN Watch has called on the United Nations to dismiss Albanese from her post as a special rapporteur based on a doctored video from UN Watch. France, Germany, Italy, Austria, and Czechia have seconded the group's call. The Human Rights Council will be considering the demand at annual meetings now taking place in Geneva, Switzerland. For thoughts on all this, the GPM reached out to Francesca Albanese's predecessor in the special rapporteur position, Canadian legal scholar Michael Link. Hello, Michael Link. Welcome once again to the Green Planet Monitor.
And thank you again for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
This horrible situation that Francesca Albanese is in, and we'll dive into the details of it. I've just kind of described briefly the gist of it, but have you spoken with Francesca?
I've not spoken with her. I've been in virtual contact with her regarding this. And I must say, I'm very heartened to see a number of important organizations standing up for her with respect to the defamatory deliberate misediting of her remarks made in Doha a week ago.
And we'll dive into that in a second, but I mean, you yourself, it's interesting that years ago when you were appointed special rapporteur, I think you were appointed in, do I have it right, in 2016 and you began
again? That's correct. March of 2016 was when I was appointed.
And the Canadian government, the Harper government, was not happy. John Baird, who was foreign minister at the time, weighed in and said, this is, I can't quote him, I can't recall.
It was the Justin Trudeau government by then. So it was Stéphane Dion, who was a foreign minister at the time. Stéphane Dion was a political scientist who should have and must have known better. What had happened at that time, David, was that in the lead up to the consideration and selection of a new UN Special Rapporteur for Human Rights in Palestine, UN Watch, which is a well-funded non-government organization whose main task is to defend Israel and whatever it does in the course of the occupation of Palestine, had said a number of things about me, including that I had compared the Israeli occupation to Nazi Germany. I had done no such thing and never said anything close to that. But that was picked up in the hours and days after the announcement that I was going to be the new special rapporteur. It was echoed by John Baird, who was then an opposition member of parliament, and other conservative MPs. But most importantly, it was amplified by Stéphane Dion, who said, as foreign minister, that that the UN should appoint someone else who's going to be impartial with respect to this. And that statement stayed with me, deliberate misrepresentation of what I had said, stayed with me every time UN Watch wanted to do another number or attack on me during this period of time.
And UN Watch, this is Hillel Neuer, who is the one who's behind, and his group behind, the defamation of Francesca Albanese and the apparent doctoring of her presentation.
Exactly. They've had Francesca in their crosshairs ever since she was appointed to become the new special rapporteur in 2022. And this is probably, you know, of all the misstatements they've made with respect to her, this misrepresentation, this deliberate editing of a short speech she gave virtually to a forum in Doha earlier on in February, represents, I suppose, a new low for an organization that already knows how to sort of swim in the gutter.
But I mean, you know, you were always very critical of Israel. Of course, John Dugard was, and Richard Falk, like past UN special rapporteurs, have all been exceptionally incisive and critical of Israel's actions in the occupied, effectively annexed Palestinian territories. But it seems to me that Francesca Albanese has moved things up a notch. She's always incredibly well spoken and documented in her various presentations to the Human Rights Council and the United Nations General Assembly. But she doesn't pull her punches, does she?
No, not at all. You know, and the reason why I think the attacks on her have become that much more vicious in the 3.5 years that she's been special rapporteur is, you know, I can't help but think part of it has to do with sexism. Part of it has to do with how articulate she is, how she presents empathy in her discussions. She speaks in language that embraces hundreds of thousands of people. But she's also been the special rapporteur during the gravest time ever with respect to Palestine. You know, with a death toll of well over 70,000 Palestinians in Gaza since October 2023, which far exceeds the number of Palestinians that appear to have been killed in 1947, 1948, during the dissembling of Palestine and the creation of the State of Israel. She's had an extremely tough series of events that she has to comment on, that she has to remind the world about, and she's done it with passion, with intellect, with a solid grounding in international law. And all of this because she's seen as a leading, articulate spokesperson with respect to human rights and how they apply to Palestine, has made the target on her that much larger, led by groups like UN Watch.
Now, what is being alleged, it has been alleged by UN Watch, which is disseminated this charge throughout Europe and the Western capitals, is that she said that Israel was the common enemy of humanity. And in fact, she denies this. And if you listen to the original recording, what she says is the system, the financial system, the algorithms, the arms and weapons industry is the enemy of the system that allows all this to be perpetuated, not Israel itself. It's the larger system that allows it to happen. But the French foreign minister, Jean-Noël Barrot, who referred to her comments as outrageous and reprehensible, and other comments, scandalous positions, is now saying, no, it's not really the video, doctored or not, that upsets me. It's just her entire position. And I'm astonished, I mean, for the sake of argument, to put myself across as being a little bit naive, I'm astonished. I mean, amongst the five countries that have complained and are launching this appeal to the Human Rights Council to get Francesca Albanese dismissed, France, Germany, Italy, Austria, and Czechia, France voted in favor of the UN General Assembly resolution endorsing the International Court of Justice's advisory opinion from July 2024 that the occupation, entire occupation, is flagrantly unlawful, violates the Palestinian people's inalienable right to self-determination, which is a right erga omnes, its peremptory norm. Denying that as the right to self-determination is a crime against humanity. I mean, what's the story with France? They claim to support international law. They voted in favor of endorsing this assessment of Israel's occupation as unlawful, but they don't condemn Israel with the same degree of ferocity as they condemn Francesca Albanese. What's the story here?
Well, what I've learned during the 6 years that I was special rapporteur, David, and it's only been reinforced since October 2023, is that for important, powerful nations in the global north, Europe, North America, Japan, Australia, and so on, it is much easier to say you're in favor of international law and even vote on occasion for resolutions supporting international law as it applies to Israel and Palestine, and yet deny it in practice, i.e. not take any steps to ensure accountability of international law, than it is to say, I don't believe in international law, it's all fiction. You know, the I don't believe in international law approach is the Donald Trump approach, and that's why he's drawn, you know, such criticism and such astonishment that he would say that. Because he's, in many ways, he's breaking the polite lie, the polite fiction in the modern world that international law applies equally to all. We're all bought into the system, and we all want to see it enforced when there is a breach of it. The hole in the heart of modern international law has to be the lack of accountability. The lack of accountability means there's going to be no peace. The lack of accountability means certainly there's going to be no justice. And so when you vote for resolutions demanding a ceasefire of Israel's war on genocide on Gaza, when you vote for resolutions condemning the Israeli settlements as unlawful, when you issue statements through your foreign ministry that condemn the recent actions by Israel that extends and deepens its annexation of the West Bank, and yet you do nothing to stand in the way of Israel continuing to thicken its occupation, to deepen its annexation, and to make sure there'll never be a Palestinian state. You can say with all the virtue in your heart, well, I stand on the side of international law, and I'm critical of what Israel is saying. So yes, there's a huge amount of hypocrisy that is going on in the modern world, but particularly by the global north, who has the influence and the relationships with Israel economically, politically, militarily, diplomatically, that they could, in unison, force Israel to stop what they're doing, what Israel is doing. And yet they won't take any of those steps. They won't take any meaningful accountability steps to ensure the end of Israeli impunity. Because what does Israel wind up learning from all of this? There have been resolutions since 1971 from the UN General Assembly saying the Israeli settlements are unlawful under international law. There have been resolutions since 1968-69 with respect to the illegality of Israel's annexation of East Jerusalem and parts of the West Bank. There have been demands by the UN with respect to Palestinian self-determination and with respect to accepting the decision by the International Court of Justice in July 2024 that Israel's occupation is unlawful and must end as rapidly as possible. What does Israel learn from all that? They learn that the resolutions are toothless. that they're meaningless if nobody's taking any steps to wind up trying to enforce them. So as a serial probate, Israel winds up learning they can deepen the occupation. It can put 20,000 more settlers into the West Bank and East Jerusalem each and every year and never suffer any consequences with respect to its relationships with the West. Those relationships it has with the West are deeply important to Israel. A third of Israel's external trade is with the European Union. Israel has received over $22 billion in military aid from the United States since October 2023. If either or both of those pipelines were wind up being cut off, and the United States and the European Union were to say, end the settlements now, evacuate all of your settlers, allow a Palestinian state to come into being, Israel would have to do that because it would have no choice. So, but it continues to do what it's been doing for the last 58 years, because it knows there'll be no meaningful sanctions, no meaningful pushback on its actions and on its illegalities. It all comes down to the willingness of the United States to shelter Israeli impunity when it comes to its actions towards the Palestinians.
Well, it's because the Western leaders, beginning with the United States, but the UK, France, Germany, Italy, Canada, they effectively hold international law in contempt. They hold the United Nations Charter in contempt.
The difference is they won't say it. They'll say, we believe in international law, reimagined as the rules-based international order, but we won't do anything to enforce it when it's against our own interests with respect to that, i.e. an ally like Israel. We will talk about enforcing it when it comes to a adversary like Russia when it invades Ukraine.
And so this is why they detest Francesca Albanese so much, because Francesca Albanese is fulfilling her task. She's not being remunerated in any way. She's speaking out. She's pulling no punches. She's calling it for what it is: genocide, apartheid, settler colonialism. And they don't want to hear that. It's just like a real noisy insect in your ear. You don't want to hear it. They want to stamp it out, right? As if Francesca Albanese actually had any power. And maybe this is the question to ask: does Francesca Albanese and do her words have power?
Yes, they do. They have the power of the tongue and the power of the keyboard. And I'm glad we're bringing this conversation back to Francesca Albanese, because it is her tireless advocacy with respect to the application of international law that shows this huge and widening gap between what nations in the global north say about international law and what they do with respect to breaches of international law. She's been pointing this out since she began as special rapporteur, and her voice has become more insistent, more critical, and more listened to since the genocide began in October 2023 in measuring Israel's conduct against international law, particularly the Rome Statute's prohibitions with respect to war crimes and crimes against humanity, and particularly its prohibitions with respect to genocide, the crime of crimes, with regards to this. They don't want to hear that because she winds up pointing out how insufficient, how miserly the actions of the global north are with respect to halting what Israel has been doing in Gaza and as well in the West Bank and Jerusalem as well. So they don't like to have a voice that winds up being amplified by the millions and millions who wind up following her, who understand when she's able to articulate the demands of international law into non-legal language that resonates with what their eyes are telling them when they watch online the destruction of Gaza, the decimation that's going on in the West Bank, and the dispossession of the Palestinians.
She's under crushing sanctions. She can't access her bank account. She can't use her credit cards. She can't pay for medical help if she needs it. She can't travel. She can't book herself into hotels. She's a professional. She's an academic. I mean, people like us, what would we do if suddenly we couldn't access our bank accounts, we couldn't use email, we couldn't use credit cards, we couldn't travel because of these sanctions that Marco Rubio has slapped on her? It's dreadful to see individuals like Francesca Albanese, who are heroes, being persecuted the way they are. And I wanted to ask you in closing, is there anything that listeners can do to support Francesca Albanese? But I guess they can write to Mark Carney, or they can try to communicate with the Human Rights Council. Any thoughts?
Well, listen, first of all, people, ordinary people like you and I, we should never underestimate the power of the keyboard. I would once have said the power of the pen, but that shows how old I am. To be able to write to decision makers, particularly political decision makers here in Canada, but also to the United Nations as well, in support of the work that Francesca Albanese and others within the UN human rights system are doing. Let's not forget that the UN Human Rights Council also created the position of the Independent Commission of Inquiry with respect to Israel and Palestine. And its work has been often criticized, but its work as well, I think, is stellar in running parallel to what Francesca is doing in pointing out genocide in Gaza.
Navi Pillay's commission.
Yeah, exactly. There are other brave UN officials who wind up through their own particular offices pointing out how dreadful the conditions are in the occupied Palestinian territories, particularly with respect to Gaza. They do heroic work, and it's their courage, it's their fulfilling of what they see as their institutional responsibilities that we have to pay attention to, we have to wind up supporting, and we have to ensure that our governments wind up supporting this as well. The United Nations is now in a terrible position with respect to being starved of funds. The U.S. owes more than $2 billion of back dues to the United Nations, which it is refusing to pay because it wants to put the U.N. on a diet. And the United Nations has already issued warnings that it may face financial collapse by mid-2026.
It wants to replace, Trump wants to replace the United Nations with his Board of Peace.
With his Board of Peace with regards to this. So these are the most sustained attacks on our international architecture that we've created painstakingly since 1945 to try to create a world where, you know, the saying was, the United Nations wasn't created to, you know, allow us to enter heaven. It was created to save us from going to hell. It was to save us from the darkest impulses of our collective nature. And we have to keep that in mind whenever we question why we have United Nations and recognize the extremely indispensable work that it's performing, and particularly with respect to difficult, what some people see as difficult questions of justice, which is the right of Palestinians to self-determination and to live in freedom and equality.
And the United Nations needs to be totally reformed from the ground up, but that's another story for another time to talk about. Michael Link, thank you so much for joining me on the Green Planet Monitor.
David, always a pleasure to be back, and best of luck with your continuing indispensable work.
Michael Link served as UN Special Rapporteur on the human rights situation in Palestine from 2016 to 2022. Listen to and watch our complete conversation at greenplanetmonitor.net. We'll also report on the outcome of Francesca Albanese's attempted ouster. You are listening to the Green Planet Monitor. I'm David Kattenberg. Lawfare, in the positive sense, a handful of human rights groups have just filed a complaint to the International Criminal Court in The Hague, in the Netherlands, calling on it to prosecute the presidents of two major football federations for aiding and abetting Israeli crimes in Palestine. Gianni Infantino is the president of the International Football Federation, FIFA. Alexander Chafarin is the president of UEFA, the European Football Federation. According to the 120-page filing submitted to the world's only permanent criminal court on February 16th, Infantino and Chafarin have provided extensive organizational and financial aid to Israeli football clubs based in, operating out of, Jewish settlements in the Israeli-occupied West Bank at the expense of Palestinian teams and players. Indeed, FIFA and UEFA have allowed settlement clubs to compete in European and international matches. Settlements are illegal under international law, a war crime under the founding statute of the International